marriage.
Love and marriage.
I love you, honey bunny.
Love and marriage.
Get out!
Have you the wind?
Ah, yes. Springtime weather and a young person's fancy turns to, you know what, the Love Lab is back, and we have an expert today with us, a clinical psychologist, professor at Northwestern University in their Master of Science program in Marriage and Family Therapy. They actually have a course up there, Marriage 101, and Dr. Solomon is one of the instructors. Welcome to our program.
Hi there.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for coming on. Is it a normal course to be offered at colleges now, Marriage 101?
It is at Northwestern, I guess.
It is at Northwestern. We've been doing this for a while here at Northwestern. It's our 14th year teaching it. But, you know, we've looked around, and a lot of the smaller schools, sometimes religious schools, will have a course like this. But as far as we can tell, we are one of the few, if not the only, big universities doing a class quite like this.
And Dr. Solomon, give us an idea of some of the textbooks for this course, some of the topics you cover.
The way that we position this class is right at the intersection of academic learning and experiential learning. So we do some reading in the area of research, marital research, and we do quite a bit of reading, the kinds of readings that we as couples therapists may have our couples read as well, so kind of popular press. Books about marriage and commitment and intimacy. So it's kind of a mix. We don't have a textbook per se. It's a mixture of some books and some readings.
Can you describe the object of the class?
The intention of the class is almost primary prevention. So the class is taught by a faculty made up of couples therapists. And so we sit in our office week to week with couples who are in distress. And so years ago we thought, wouldn't it be beautiful if we could get to young folks before they have partnered up and give them some skills and give them, really the heart of the class is give them an opportunity to grow themselves and understand themselves so that then when they are ready to create a partnership, they really know what they're bringing in and they can bring to them a compatible partner. So we had in the back of our minds, could we reduce the risk of divorce? What could we give young people that would help them create a really beautiful, sustainable relationship and maybe bypass some of the distress that we know so often comes along with marriage.
It's great that you're doing this at Northwestern, but they should do this in high schools, shouldn't they?
We really should. It would be great to have it at high school. It would be great to have it mandatory as part of higher education, because certainly one thing we have found over and over again, researchers have found that if your love life isn't going well, it's really hard to feel like anything in your life is going well. Having a distressed love life has a humongous impact on every arena.
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It really does affect everything. Yeah. It affects everything you do. So is the intention to try to make sure that when you are going to be hooked up with a partner, that it's the right one, or to stay married and learn how to work out a problem?
Yes.
Okay, both.
Both and. You know, marriage, studying marriage is like studying a speeding train. I think there's so many changes right now in how we are conceptualizing marriage as a culture and what we're doing. We've got a decreasing marriage rate. We've got people waiting longer to go into marriage. So some of it is just, let's understand what we mean by marriage. So that way, if you choose that path, that you know what you're choosing and you know what goes into it. And if you don't want that, then my goodness, don't include that as part of your life course. You know, I think that more and more we're saying that you can be a normal, happy, healthy person and not choose marriage. There was a study from the 50s where the vast majority of people said if you chose not to be married, it meant you were sick, neurotic, abnormal. And I think that is certainly changing for us.
Many religions, I know Catholics for one, have the equivalent of pre-Cana, which is basically addressing problems that a lot of people don't even think about before they get married, like how are you going to raise your kids? How do you feel about money? What's your financial status? And how do you feel about paying your bills? Things like that are just things that many people don't think about. Are those the kinds of things? Is this like a pre-Cana but for everybody?
I think there are elements that are like a pre-Cana. I'm very supportive. We all are very supportive of those kinds of pre-Cana programs, because I think surrounding a young couple with role models and opportunities to have those conversations is great. It's just, what if, in addition, before you've chosen your partner, what if you could really look at the patterns that you learned in your family growing up? You learned some of the skills, communication skills. You learned what compatibility is, so that way you could evaluate how compatible a partner is. What if that was also there, so that then before you even chose a partner, you knew a lot about yourself, what you were interested in, and then also certainly once you are partnered, having supportive married couples around you certainly can't hurt. But yeah, we like those conversations to happen early in relationships about, right, what do you want around children? What's your relationship with money like? What are your goals in your life? Those are great conversations to have before you've gotten married.
The Atlantic has a great article called The First Lesson of Marriage 101. There are no soulmates. How do you feel about that?
I feel like that was a beautiful and really provocative title for the article. And I don't know that I'm resolved within myself about my beliefs about soulmates. I think I've got some interesting spiritual beliefs around it. But I support this idea that it's not just about I've got to find the right person. It's really, really also about I've got to be the right person. And I've got to commit myself to this thing we've made, this we that we've made. So it's about much more than just waiting for this person to pop into your life, and then it's going to be perfect.
I know it's got to be the right time, too, because in the case of Bob and myself, we are married to each other. If he had come into my life 20 years earlier than he did, there is no way we would be together. I mean, no possible
way.
Wow,
how come?
Because
of the way I was, you mean?
Yes. I mean, so it wasn't the right time. I mean, it happened when it happened because it was the right time.
Timing is everything.
But now I would say you're my soulmate, but not. I wouldn't have said that years ago. So I don't know how I feel about a soulmate. I don't even really know what that means exactly. That there's only one mm-hmm. person? I don't know.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is really interesting about it is, right, whatever each of your individual journeys were, you know, got you to a place where you synced up with each other in a way that you're saying you wouldn't have 20 years before just because of where you were developmentally and in your own process. And that's, we talk about that a lot because, you know, college students are experimenting with love really actively in college and trying out all kinds of situations, and so we have lots of conversations about how do you know what's enough and how do you know when it's time to break up. And certainly the bottom line is that just falling in love and being in a relationship will grow you. You know, it grows, being in love grows us, it evolves us as humans, so that what's possible for us changes as we love and let ourselves be loved.
I think 20 years ago I wasn't ready for a relationship, and one of the reasons probably is because I didn't take your course there at Northwestern, Marriage 101, Building Loving and Lasting Relationships. And then you find out as you go through relationship struggles and you get help, then you really start to grow. But it makes me wonder, how can anybody be ready for marriage and a serious relationship at a very young age? And I marvel at people who have been married 50, 60 years, hopefully happily, and got married at a very young age. And obviously you change, you both change, and somehow stayed together and stayed happy. How does that happen?
Isn't that incredible?
Yeah, it is.
It's a lifetime. I mean, I love the work that I'm in because I get to study that as my life's work. I remember years ago a supervisor of mine saying the marriage you need at 25 is different than the marriage you need at 45, and that's different than the marriage you need at 65. And if you're very lucky and very skilled, it's all with the same person.
Dr. Alexandra Solomon is with us. She's a clinical psychologist, and that's why I'm going to ask her to hold on so we can talk to her some more, because we're not paying for the session, and, you know, Lord knows we need it. So we'll be back with more after this. Sir Adam Murciano in the afternoon, and we're talking to Dr. Alexandra Solomon, and we are very interested in the course at Northwestern that she's involved in, and it's called Marriage 101, Building Loving and Lasting Relationships. It's an undergraduate course. How do you grade? Is it pass-fail?
I kind of wish sometimes that it was. We have a series of assignments, two really special ones. One is they interview their parents about their parents' relationship and sort of analyze that and apply it to their own desires that they want for themselves, for their relationships going forward, and kind of look at patterns and apply the materials. Another fun assignment is that we pair the students, and then we assign them to a mentor couple who is a couple in the community who has agreed to open their home to these students, and they go into the couple's home and interview them about their marriage. So they have two real up close looks at relationships, and they write about those.
I'm just thinking about interviewing my parents. If I were assigned to interview my parents, first of all, I don't know that I would ever get them to do that, and if I did. Mm-hmm. If they were honest, I would be very surprised. I don't know if, of course, that was another generation that didn't quite uh-huh. get this idea of awareness and direct talk about tough issues. Interviewing your parents, really?
What would your dad have said, Bob?
What would my dad have said?
Yeah.
About their marriage?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ask your mother.
And what would your mom have said?
Ask your father.
There you have it.
I'd flunk the course.
Well, all I can say, you'd write a paper about that. You'd write about, you know, what it is about their marriage that maybe would keep them from opening up to you. But yeah, it's not an easy assignment, and we have a team of teaching assistants who are also our graduate students who are training to be couples therapists. So we've got lots of support for them and strategies of how to make this go as well as it can go. But yeah, it's not an easy assignment, but we hold to it year after year because it just is such a powerful learning tool.
I'm glad Bob just confessed about that, because that all I can say is that explains a lot.
Well, we're all the products of our parents, and don't we tend to mimic their relationships, Doctor?
I think that sometimes we mimic them. Sometimes we try to do 180 degrees different from them, which is very rarely the answer. I think the best we can do is look. I think the best we can do is look honestly at what we saw growing up, and then make choices of what we want to carry on and what we want to leave behind.
According to the story we were talking about in The Atlantic, historians tell us that marriage education in America began as a way to keep women's sexuality in check. Marriage education has been for hundreds of years aimed at women. It was considered their responsibility to keep the marriage going. Now, how far is that from truth?
That's interesting. You know, research does show that... research shows that for straight couples, if she's saying, hey, honey, I think we need some support here. I think our marriage is a little off track and we could use some support, that he ought to listen the first time she says it, because she most likely has her finger closer to the pulse of the marriage than he does. Just if for no other reason than she's been groomed her whole life to be the watcher of relationship dynamics and, you know, just kind of be checking the pulse and taking the temperature. So certainly we know that's true, that she will often feel distressed and like she wants to reach out for help sooner than he does.
So what you're telling me is I should listen to Marianne more and say she's right more, because she is.
Yes.
Is that it?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's, you know, if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy.
Yeah, well, I know that. Happy wife, happy life.
Yeah.
Well, most of us don't take courses in Marriage 101 at school, and so we grow up watching our parents, and we kind of learn by osmosis, and we think, well, that this is the way it's done, this is the way you do it, and for good or bad, that's what we do, and that's messed up, isn't it?
Well, and taking it, and yes, I agree with that. And we raise our boys to grow up to men, into men who have a very difficult time yielding to somebody else's influence, right? We teach them to stand on their own 2 feet, and you never back down, and you either win or you lose, and God forbid if you lose. So we as a culture really struggle to give our men a sense of, you know what, if she's gives you a suggestion and you lean into that suggestion, that's actually a really healthy, wonderful way to show up for your marriage, and that actually enhances your marriage, and it's going to improve your sex life. It's going to improve your cardiovascular health.
Yeah.
So
now we're getting somewhere. Yeah, well, I'm going to do that.
I always say, foreplay starts in the morning.
Hey, listen, listen, I'm going to do that. And I was raised, my father was very stubborn. And, my parents, there was no such thing as a fair fight, a good argument. But I think I'm going to try this at least for the next 24 hours and see what happens. I'm going to do this more. I'm going to give in more, and I'm going to go with that. And I think I'll get further. And most of the time, it's probably the thing to do anyway. But you're right. I was raised, I'm typical, raised to sort of stand my ground, right? And not give in, and it's partly the issue you're talking about, but then it's partly how you're wired to be of the large ego or whatever it is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh
yeah.
Boy. Okay, well, yeah. Listen, Doctor, you got to come back again here in the Love Lab and spend some time with us. The course is Marriage 101: Building Loving and Lasting Relationships. It's an undergraduate course at Northwestern University. And what do you call that, where you just sit in on a class, you don't really sign up?
You guys are welcome to do it. It's called auditing, and you guys are welcome to do that. I would love to make space for you.
I'm going to do that. Make space.
All right.
Thanks for the time.
Thank you.
Thanks, you guys. That was fun.
All right. Happy love life to all.